Everything we do is music.
Acoustic space. Boundless, directionless, horizonless.
36.
20.
20.
Welcome to 3620, podcasting from the basement of 3620 Walnut Street by the doctoral students at the Annenberg School for Communication here at the University of Pennsylvania. My name is Deb, and I'm your host. This week, we bring you the fourth installment of the Susurrus Scholarship Series started last fall, which is entitled The Cyborg of 6th Avenue Rides the Subway. Producer Aaron Shapiro attempts to translate a chapter from architectural theorist William Mitchell's book, Me++, The Cyborg Self and the Networked City. The audio will trail the cyborg from his office space at 3620 Walnut to CVS to buy SEPTA tokens under the dazzling LED lights and radio waves, before embarking on a journey along the underground network of trolley tracks and subway rails to reach his home. Musical accompaniment and general inspiration comes from Moondog, also known as the Viking of 6th Avenue. Hope you enjoy.
Consider me, if you will, me++. I consist of a biological core, surrounded by extended, constructed systems of boundaries and networks. The boundaries define a space of containers and places, while the networks establish a space of links and flows. Walls, fences, and skins divide. Paths, pipes, and wires connect. Boundaries. My natural skin is just layer zero of a nested boundary structure. When I shave, I coat my face with lather. When I'm nearly naked in the open air, I wear, at the very least, a second skin of SPF 15 sunblock. My clothing is a layer of soft architecture, shrink-wrapped around the contours of my body. Beds, rugs, and curtains are looser assemblages of surrounding fabric, somewhere between underwear and walls. My room is cast into a more rigorous geometry, fixed in place and enlarged in scale so that it encloses me at a comfortable distance. The building that contains it has a weatherproof exterior shell. Before modern mobile artillery, fortified city walls would have provided me a final, hardened, outermost crust. In the early years of the Cold War, outer defensive encasements reemerged in extreme form as domestic nuclear bunkers. The destruction of the Berlin Wall in 1989 marked the end of that edgy era. But still, if I end up in jail, an internment camp, or a walled retirement community, the distinction between intra and extramural remains brutally literal. All of my boundaries depend, for their effectiveness, upon combining sufficient capacity to attenuate flow with sufficient thickness. If I want acoustic privacy, I can retreat behind a closed door, or I can simply rely on the attenuation of sound waves in air and move out of earshot. In sparsely populated territories, distance creates many natural barriers, while in buildings and cities, efficient artificial barriers subdivide closely packed spaces. Connections. Crossing the various boundaries that surround me, my enclosures are leaky. I am, as Georg Simmel observed, a connecting creature who must always separate and who cannot connect without separating. To create and maintain differences between the interiors and exteriors of enclosures, and there is no point to boundaries and enclosures if there are no differences, I seek to control these network flows. So the crossing points are sites where I can survey what's coming and going, make access decisions, filter out what I don't want to admit or release, express desire, exercise power, and define otherness. Directly and indirectly, I employ doors, windows, bug screens, gates, cattle grids, adjustable apertures, valves, filters, prophylactics, diapers, face masks, receptionists, security checkpoints, customs and immigration checkpoints, traffic signals, routers, and switches to determine who or what can go where and when they can go there. So do you, of course, and so do others with the capacity to do so in particular contexts. Through the interaction of our efforts to affect and control transfers among enclosures and our competition for network resources, we mutually construct and constrain one another's realms of daily action. Within the relatively stable framework of our interconnecting, overlapping, and sometimes shared transfer networks, our intricately interwoven demands and responses create fluctuating conditions of freedom and constraint. And as networks become faster, more pervasive, and more essential, these dynamics become increasingly crucial to the conduct of our lives. We have all discovered that a traffic jam, a check-in line, a power outage, a server overwhelmed by a denial-of-service attack, or a market crash can create as effective a barrier as a locked door. The more we depend on networks, the more tightly and dynamically interwoven our destinies become. Networks. The archetypal structure of the network, with its accumulation and habitation sites, links, dynamic flow patterns, interdependencies, and control points, is now repeated at every scale, from that of neural networks, neurons, axons, synapses, and digital circuitry, registers, electron pathways, switches, to that of global transportation networks, warehouses, shipping and air routes, ports of entry. And networks of different types and scales are integrated into larger network complexes, serving multiple functions. Depending upon our relationships to the associated social and political structures, each of us can potentially play many different roles, some strong, some weak, at nodes within these complexes: owner, authorized user, operator, occupant, occupier, tenant, customer, guest, sojourner, tourist, immigrant, alien, interloper, infiltrator, trespasser, snooper, besieger, cracker, hijacker, invader, gatekeeper, jailer, or prisoner. Power and political identity have become inseparable from these roles. With the proliferation of networks and our increasing dependency upon them, there's been a gradual inversion of the relationship between barriers and links. As the ancient use of a circle of walls to serve as the ideogram for a city illustrates, the enclosing, dividing, and sometimes defended boundary was once the decisive mechanism for political geography. Joshua got access the old-fashioned way. When he blew his righteous trumpet, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. By the mid-20th century, though, the most memorable ideogram of London was its underground network, and that of Los Angeles was its freeway map. Riding the networks, not dwelling within the walls, was what made you a Londoner or an Angoleno. The unbelievably intricate diagram of internet interconnectivity has become the most vivid icon of globalization. Now you get access by typing in your password, and IT managers dissolve the perimeters between organizations by merging their network access authorization lists. Today, the network, rather than the enclosure, is emerging as the desired and contested object. The dual now dominates. Extension and entanglement trump enclosure and autonomy. Control of territory means little unless you also control the channel capacity and access points that service it. Processes. Different places may run on their own clocks, or their timekeeping systems may be standardized and synchronized. When there was little communication between spatially separated settlements, local time sufficed, and there was no need for such coordination. But linkage by long-distance railroad and telegraph networks eventually made it imperative. In 1851, the Harvard College Observatory began to distribute clock ticks by telegraph to the railroad companies. As transportation and telecommunication capacities have increased, we have entered the era of globalized network time. Computers have added additional layers of complexity to the construction of time. The first computers, constructed according to the elegant principles of Turing and von Neumann, were strictly sequential machines, executing one operation at a time. Programming was a matter of specifying these operations in precise order. If you take advantage of fast machines to compress processes, you can ally the distinction between simultaneity and sequence. It no longer makes sense to think of a computer as a compact, discrete object, or to distinguish between computers and networks. Eventually, we will approach the physical speed limit and its associated paradox. Information cannot travel faster than light, so spatially distributed events that seem simultaneous from one node in a light speed network may seem sequential from another, and vice versa. The more we interrelate events and processes across space, the more simultaneity dominates succession. Time no longer presents itself as one damn thing after another, but as a structure of multiple, parallel, sometimes cross-connected and interwoven, spatially distributed processes that cascade around the world through networks. Once there was a time and place for everything, today, things are increasingly smeared across multiple sites and moments in complex and often indeterminate ways. Discontinuities. In the digitally mediated world that we've constructed for ourselves, what exists between 0 and 1, a pixel and its neighbor, or a discrete time interval in the next? The answer, of course, is nothing. Profoundly nothing. Our networks are simultaneously discontinuous structures. They have well-defined access points, and between those points, things are in a kind of limbo. We experience networks at their interfaces, and only worry about the plumbing when something goes wrong. If you transfer yourself through a network, you directly experience this limbo. It is perhaps most dramatic on intercontinental night flights. You have your headphones on, there's darkness all around, and there's no sensation of motion. The video monitor constructs a local reality, and occasionally interrupts it to display current times at origin and destination. It is best not to worry too much about how to set your watch right now, precisely where you are, or whose laws might apply to you. The discontinuities produced by networks result from the drive for efficiency, safety, and security. Engineers want to limit the number of access points and provide fast, uninterrupted transfers among these points. So you can drink from a stream anywhere along its length, but you can only access piped water at a faucet. You can pause wherever you want when you're strolling along a dirt track, but you must use stations for trains, entry and exit ramps for freeways, and airports for airline networks. And your experience of the terrain between these points is very limited. You can experience the architectural transitions between floors of a building when you climb the stairs, but you go into architectural limbo when you use the elevator. Individuals. We are not fully contained within our skins. Our extended networks and fragmented habitats make us spatially and temporally indefinite entities. The ancient distinctions between user and tool, building and inhabitant, or city and citizen, no longer serve us well. We would do better to take the unit of subjectivity and of survival, to be the biological individual plus its extensions and interconnections. So I am not the Vitruvian Man, enclosed within a single perfect circle, looking out at the world from my personal perspective coordinates and, simultaneously, providing the measure of all things. Nor am I an autonomous, self-efficient, biologically embodied subject, encountering, objectifying, and responding to my immediate environment. I construct and I am constructed in a mutually recursive process that continually engages my fluid and permeable boundaries and my endlessly ramifying networks. I am a spatially extended cyborg.
Little man, close your eyes and go to sleep if you can.
Special thanks to Aaron Shapiro and the late Bill Mitchell. Next week we'll be taking a hiatus for spring break, but we'll see you the week after that.
The views expressed on this podcast are those of its producers and do not represent the Annenberg School for Communication, its faculty, staff, or student body. The 3620 podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike International 3.0 license. That means you can remix, repost, or recycle any of the content as long as you aren't making money, you don't change the credits, and you share it under the same license.